American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, March the 22nd, 2010. And that's right, the year is almost one quarter over. What have you done so far? Probably not much, but not to worry. You are, in fact, listening to Newsreel, the wall global sit rep on core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today. And just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts. Do you check my facts? Do you check any facts? You should check somebody's facts. You sure as shit should be checking the TV's facts, because do you ever actually check facts? Really? Do you? Or do you just take it? Just take it. You know what I mean? Because it's funny. Dan Rather, now that he's not on the news anymore, he's screaming his lungs out with all kinds of facts, but nobody listens to him anymore. It's kind of funny. I don't know why that is, but they don't. But if you want to verify facts, you can do that by going to my live journal, the bastion of facts and figures and information, and you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at about 7 p.m. Second Life Time, or Pacific Standard Time, or Greenwich Mean Time, -7, thanks to daylight savings and British people fucking with your internal clock. You can get to Second Life Node Archers, grid 155-74666. And with us tonight, we've got Tackcraft, who, of course, had his album release party last week, which was Supernova 1987A, if memory serves correct. And, Sim, you can verify. I don't actually even have that written down. I think that's what it was called. Spider Mike is also here. Right. Spider Mike's here. Samarian, don't talk over Spider Mike. He's more important than you are. Sophia, resist us. Morps. Mindy and all her smoking glory. Max the token cat, which also relates to smoking. Legion, who is many. People are moving. I hate that. Kimmy, Kale, Comus, Jim Bob, Ice Hawk, Heavy Metal, Griffin, Rosebomb, Alaya Vendetta, Draken, Dawn, Dorbin, Damon Core, Bryce, AOI Nexus, Anastasia Jennings, Agent Dak, and Acer M. And I think Yukasaki just showed up in the cloud. Very, 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 very close. And let's not forget my beautiful and talented co-host, Samarian, who, of course, we all know and love, and actually no one is more important than Samarian.
That's right. It's good evening, Sean.
Good evening. Sim, did you know that we are also simulcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 6673.3 kilohertz everywhere the right and glory leads? So, good to see. How has your week been? How you doing, Sim? How you doing, man?
Good, good, pretty good.
Are you feeling anxious? Huh? Are you feeling
no.
Are you feeling edgy,
no.
Sam? Oh, he just figured out where
about
this
what?
Is going. Yeah, where this is going, of course, is because of the new information, which has just now been made available in that book. You know what I mean? What book is it? What's the name of the book?
Well, if it's in a book, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
Otherwise, I mean, how would the government let her publish this book if it's not full of facts? And
well, I'm not too sure it's got any oversight. I think it's called The Vegan Myth, or The Vegetarian Myth, by by this chick. What's the name of the book, Sim? Come on, help me out here, man. Don't throw me to the wolves like this.
Give me 2 seconds.
You
it's
have 2 seconds.
Vegetarian...
What this is that we... go ahead.
Vegetarian Myth, Food Justice, Sustainability.
Food Justice. Oh, look at it. Oh, that was so unbiased. I'm so proud of you. You read that with that. Food Justice and Sustainability.
Justice.
Yeah, well...
it's basically, I'm not vegan and nobody else should be either.
Well, now, to be fair, the chick who wrote it was vegan for 20 years. So she went pretty crazy. Right? And then she wrote this book. Right? And where she claims that being vegan is bad. And I guess it must be pretty interesting because she got pied, right? She got a pie in the face at some talk. Somebody came up and attacked her which I thought was interesting because, you know, no, it's weird. It's like there's, you know, there's oil executives and stuff like that. It's a pretty pussy thing to do to attack a vegan. Well, she was. I mean, I guess she's now just like an ex-vegan. I mean, I had no idea just how radical and dangerous the vegans were. You know, I mean, it was a pepper that was a capsicum whipped cream pie, you know, and is that what you endorse, Sim? Is that what you are? Who taught you to be like that? You know, radicalizing, you know,
me and my organization. Yeah.
It's the vegan agenda. And that's what I'm worried about.
Card carrying vegan.
Yeah. You know, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm thinking that, you know, because if we can just get you to look at some rational facts and figures, right? Because that's how they convince you of everything, right? It's got to be rational facts. Kind of hard to do, though, because I've already covered news stories where I state that, like, you know, anything can be statistically proven. I could probably come up with the statistical studies that would show you eating rocks is okay, you know, but...
I'll have to talk to the organization about that incident.
Yes,
You know, and also go to my non-stamp collecting place and talk to them about stuff. And
that's right.
My non-worshipping house of worship and talk to them.
Well,
yeah,
there could be like a sinister overlord atheist agenda happening here, you know, because technically speaking, if we go at this from a biblical angle, you're a Satanist, right? Like, without a doubt. Like, if I was going to get all right wing psycho Christian on you, you are in the clutches of the devil. Now, the interesting thing here is, which is unique. Is that realistically, this is a human trait. Like, even if you go to the most right-wing, rabid Christian psychos, take your particular species of Christianity, and I deem it irrelevant, okay, like Mormonism, whatever. You'd pretty much be as right-wing psycho-Christian as you want. And you even take the most left-wing, vegan, granola-munching, you know, Earth is the Mother, huna-huna, or atheist crowd, and essentially, at the end of the day, at the core tenet, what they both believe is they want to help each other, right? They believe the other is wrong, right, but they haven't given up on the other person. They believe that if they can convince the other person that their argument is correct, the other person will be happier in some way. You know what I mean?
Well, like, if you talk about the organized people, I'm not a practicing anything, so
I don't
get together with other people and blame my beliefs on everyone else.
Well, you don't
I don't go on the street
and show where
force
and
carrots in people's mouths.
That's a great idea, and I think, you know, that should be like... They should do like a vegan versus Jesus thing where they crucify Jesus with carrots, you know, and maybe they put like a wreath of broccoli on it.
Eat the godless carrot.
Eat the carrot of godlessness. Yeah, there it is. Perfect. Now that's a wallpaper if ever there was one. Just a big monster image of a carrot lying at the carrot of godlessness right there. You know, Sumerian. Tazor speaks, the carrot of godlessness. We need to get like the photo of you like Baphomet, you know, the famous drawing of Baphomet that'll be vegan and he'll have like, you know, four arms going out, and one arm he'll have, you know, coleslaw, or he'll have like some celery, and the other arm he'll have like a carrot, the other arm he'll have some broccoli, and the other arm he'll have cauliflower, and it'll be like, there he is, the godless vegans. But this is what they're saying anyway. So of course I give Sim no end of grief about being vegan, just as he, you know, attacks me all the time about my
all the time
not so veganist. Mind you though, you're gaining ground, Simmy. You're gaining ground, though, because I was
How
watching.
So?
Well, no, because I watched this show. There was like this, you know, you're clicking around, and we used to listen to media. Now we watch media, and there was like this Korean YouTube clip of this guy eating living octopus, like little baby octopuses. He was picking up with chopsticks and eating raw in Korea.
What's wrong with that?
Well, exactly my point. The thing was, though, is that I felt kind of bad about it. Like, because I've met octopuses now, right? Well, because, like, I know octopuses, right? Like, I met one. It was cool. Yeah.
You've met the enemy, and you're now a sympathizer.
Well,
I'm not... These people aren't so bad.
Where did the word enemy come into this? How did enemy show up? Have you got a long-standing hatred with octopi that I'm not aware of? Has there been a cephalopod incident that I'm not really, you know, familiar with here? I mean,
they touched me in eight different ways.
Well, and they're not arms, they're legs. Just so you know, with squid, there are tentacles. With octopus, there are more arms. But anyway, no, but seriously, it was like, and I thought it was weird. I thought it was weird because I actually felt kind of like, oh man, that's not cool. Like, that's not cool.
Well,
then I go for sushi.
Just like we don't eat dogs and cats because they're our pets. So we're very familiar with them, and they're known to us. Like, if we had like cows as pets, we probably wouldn't eat the cows either.
No, it was weird. So I'm like, wow, You know, I don't know. Does that mean I failed my saving throw? Is that what that means, or what? You know, I don't know.
Your sand throw, it's over. You lost your sanity.
Well, I mean, I think that, if you're going to lose your sanity to a giant octopus in the Pacific Ocean is probably the best way to do it. Really, you know, from my perspective. You know, there's nothing pussy about that. That's not a pussy way to lose your sanity. It's not like being, you know, surprised by a corpse and you just, you know, critical out and just keep spiraling down until you go totally mad.
And I've thought about that. I've thought of, like, people making really, like, videos about carrots and broccoli and playing sad music in behind.
Oh, fuck, that's brilliant. Patrolling Freeman. We got to do that. We got to do, like, oh, wow, brilliant.
Think of the cauliflower. Don't hurt these cauliflower.
You know,
they have children and lives and seeds to pass on.
You could have, like, the sound of all these little carrots talking, and then you have, like, this Holocaust music playing where these guys pulling up the carrots. You just pan back, and it's, like, crowds screaming as these carrots are torn from the ground. It's that harvesting happens every year.
We can play an acoustic version of I Hear the Screams of the Vegetables.
I Hear the Screams of the Vegetables. It's true. It's true, you know. I mean, it's too bad no one would take it seriously, you know, as it sits. I mean, as opposed to right now where we'd lose our credibility. We couldn't have that, you know. Couldn't have that because God knows, you know, everybody listens to the show, right? You know, that's the interesting thing is you have no idea how many people listen to the show. I got an email this week that just blew my mind. Okay, like, I'll get to it. But let's get into some feedback here. I got some good feedback. We got a lot of stuff to cover this show. It's, as you well know, Sam, in your show, the Pirate Party, the official show of the Pirate Party, which is now, you know, a political powerhouse in the world. How is that going? How's the show going?
Doing well. People listen to it. They enjoy it. Yeah.
So that's cool. And nothing major. Well, I mean, you don't really have to worry too much about stories, right? Because, like, the world is pretty much going
to
shit. All you have to do is kind of open your window now, and, like, mail comes flowing through it charged with, you know, the worst kind of fucking stories known to man about, you know, all the worst parts. I remember, like, the late 80s, early 90s, when we were all like, oh, wow, it's going to be a dystopian future. This is going to be awesome. Well, we're here, and it's not so awesome. We didn't get the flying cars. We didn't get the hot chicks.
It is dystopian, but in all the bad ways.
What's that?
It is dystopian, but not in all the cool futuristic kind of tech ways that you always were promised in, like, Max Edgerman stuff.
Well, we just haven't deployed it. Like, I would argue there's a lot of guys who are out there doing it. We just have to get the right kind of media on it. But let's get into some feedback here. Dear Sean, now, admittedly, this is just awesome guys blog from the site. This was an email I got, and I'm just going to read this out here because this is really disturbing to me. Admittedly, just off some guy's blog site, but he's fairly popular, and he's kind of not known for making shit up. Now, this is from a right-wing, pro-gun, pro-god, pro-country, you know, psycho website. Plus, this story is just wacky enough to be true, especially now after that guy at Fort Hood shot up the place a while back. Basically, a soldier over in Iraq went down to the local PX to look for this latest issue of his favorite gun rag, you know, like gun porn. This is Soldiers of Ammo, SWAT, Soldier of Fortune, Shotgun News, whatever. This is like the dirty magazines you always seeing me buy, Sim, where I like, oh, modern weapons and tactics, and they got like the centerfold spread of like a rifle with like a surefire and a knife next to it. Yeah. It's all like, centerfire.
Wow.
Anyway, to discover that not only were there no new issues, but all the current stock had been pulled from the shelves. It's on a military base. The guy asked the clerk what was up, and she responded with a line, something along the lines of the store not being able to accept the liability anymore. I'm certainly trying to find the proper news website for a link, but this is what the guy says on the site. Ogre, this guy sent him this email saying, Ogre, that's the guy who runs the site, all is lost. I sit here shaking my head in utter bewilderment. I just left the PX here on my COB in Iraq. Now, this is in Iraq. Okay, you're in Iraq fighting a war. Okay?
Yeah.
You have a gun. You're walking around with guns, shooting people and stuff. Okay? Kind of doing the army stuff, right? I just happened to run into the gal who stocked the magazine rack, asked her why there haven't been any gun rags lately, to which she responded that they're not allowed to sell the gun rags anymore because they can't accept the liability. As you can imagine, my brain started to spin. Then all the gears jammed. I've served in the Army and National Guard for 23 years, and I've never felt so ashamed or utterly defeated. Just so you know, those gun rags are the fastest selling things on the rack month after month. Well, of course, you know, all the guys with the guns over there want to feel like, you know, they're reading magazines about themselves. I mean, Christ, they're the shit, right? Well, I guess that will free up more space in Iraq, you know, PX military, you know, mags for Cosmopolitan, The New Yorker, and The United Nations Monthly. Ouch. Anyway, on a side note, I don't read blogs, I don't visit chat rooms or any of that crap, and until I ran into Ogre in December, I think I've read almost all your archive blog by now. I'm impressed by the degree of your M16 options. I'm impressed, and I agree with your M16 opinion, which is, we agree about the M16, so therefore we will be friends. We are brothers now. I will be sending you a donation, and I wish the best in your run for office. Ogre rules. I gotta learn more about this guy. Of course, you will probably self-destruct when you become fully immersed in that kind of stupidity for any length of time, but that's your choice. I will continue to read your blog, blah, 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 blah. So, and this is from a dude in Iraq. They're not selling gun porn in Iraq anymore. Now, this, to me, is insane, but I could totally see that being the case, because this is what happens when nobody stands up for anything that sort of makes sense. Like, why in the fuck would you stop Soldier of Fortune from going to Iraq? That's insane. Like,
that doesn't make sense at all.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense even a little bit. Now, and the funny thing here is that it's not just, and this is important, this is the critical, this is why the story's in the show. It's not just us, okay? It's not just, you know, the so-called alternative media that is being repressed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of gun-toting, flag-waving psychopaths who at this point would go, hey, those are my rights and freedoms you're stepping on. And the protester with the bloody face goes, I know, man, what the fuck do you think I'm doing over here? You know? And this is crucial. This is the kind of thing that gives us an opportunity to talk to these people in a language that they understand. You know, where you can sit back and go, yeah, man, we know. You know, it's always...
If only more people spoke up when D&D was getting demonized, or metal music, or rap music was being demonized. But when it comes down to the Guns and Ammo magazines, then that's when the God-fearing people start speaking up.
That's when Charlton Heston gets involved. You know, if Charlton Heston did a CSO tour in Iraq, this guy could walk up to Charlton Heston and say, they took away my Guns and Ammo magazine, and Charlton Heston would put an end to that shit. You know what I mean? Like, he would have that sorted out. Like, no problem. They'd be getting lifetime subscriptions to whatever. But the point here is that it's not just us. This is there's a universal crackdown on information where they're trying to make sure that they keep everyone stupid. Okay? This is the big plan here.
Well, they're also blaming the messenger again. It's like, oh, it's the magazines. That's what did it. That's what makes people go crazy. We'll just eliminate everything until people stop going crazy. Wait, it's not going to work. People will still be crazy.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's the gun porn that they're making them crazy in Iraq. I don't think so. I think on a guess, you know, sir, if it was just me, I think probably massive amounts of redeployments where you've got guys overseas for like fucking 5-year stretches and watching their kids get older. That's probably more likely the case. Yeah, that's probably why there's a massive suicide fucking, like, the highest suicide rate in the military ever in the history of the fucking military. Oh, yeah, no, that's Soldier of Fortune's fault. For sure. That's what's causing that shit right there. Like, come on.
No counseling, no decompression, nothing. Just put them back in the streets.
Sure.
Well, we
got a spot for them. We're going to put them on the border. They're going right to the border. Don't you kid
yourself.
There
you go.
The border wars, that's where the Iraqi... You got some sketchy dude. You don't know what's going to go on with him. He doesn't want to get out of the army. Let's put him on the border. No problem. We got the UAVs already patrolling the border, looking for, quote-unquote, illegal immigrants. Those illegal immigrants are exactly the same kinds of people that emigrated to the United States originally, only they came in boats and brought blankets, which slaughtered the indigenous people. These poor bastards have just got a backpack with a couple of tins of food and maybe a few bottles of water, and they're going to work like a fucking slave for the next 20 years so that maybe their children will have a chance. Maybe.
Yep.
And that's only if, you know, they will do whatever it takes. Okay? And you know, it's a huge lottery. So... You know, I understand the need for immigration policies. I understand all that. And I know that there's a need to make sure you don't have everything just totally wide open so you can have, you know, guys running across the border with, like, crazy amounts of cocaine in the back of the trucks and all that good stuff. But I think we should probably pick on a more dangerous target than, you know... People want to come and work in your country
and help provide and maybe you can make some taxes off of them instead of just pretending they don't exist here.
Well, you know, then they'd have to admit they're people, which gets rid of that whole slave employment thing in the southern states, right, where these people work for next to nothing, right, when the whole economy is based on that. If you pulled all the illegal immigrants out, like, if I could, like, if I could do the three wishes thing and I had the magical genie, and I like, I pulled every single illegal immigrant out of the southern United States, that economy would collapse. It would completely collapse. Because, like, who the hell's pumping the gas? You think that...
Who will pick the fruit?
Nobody. Like, it's... Dude, they're it's planned slave labor, and they're sitting there, you know, they're doing
training
the training.
Turning a blind eye. Yeah.
Doing the training with the... Oh, yeah, we're not training the UAVs for domestic surveillance. Hell no. Hell no. We're watching the border. Yeah, and we're watching the border on Arizona. Never mind, you know, the drug war, which is going on across the line where people are getting killed and the police commander's getting his head cut off. They're finding literally stacks of bodies. Never mind that shit. No, we're worried about, you know, Mary Sanchez trying to make it across the border with her infant. That clearly, you know, and I don't even think guys from Iraq who'd be, like, completely sketched out beyond all belief would be able to swallow that one. They'd be like, really, dude? I'm not shooting this lady, okay? Come on, fuck off. Nobody's shooting anybody today. This is retarded.
Yeah.
But anyway, more feedback. Dear SKTFM and Sim, last show, you were speaking of the fact of being watched constantly at a job and how the lack of trust would make you uneasy, to say the least. I know and have known for a long time how this feels, since I do it to other people and they do it to me. I work for a large facility that has the need for constant video surveillance, and it is mandated by law to at least have one, sometimes at least two people at all times. They say it doesn't disturb me as much, as it is used to knowing that I know about the articles of surveillance and its technology. But what disturbs me most is the articles now about schools and the cameras and the washrooms and laptop webcams being used by principals to spy on kids at home, which we covered on the show. The fact is, an honest person watching a camera is nothing odd or even disconcerting. But a dishonest person, or even a different type of person, personality types are antisocial, in the same position, and it disturbs the shit out of me. So he's talking about, and he goes on talking a little bit more about this, and this is from Faithful Watcher. Yeah. Thank you very much. And the problem here is, I mean, I think that having surveillance has a purpose. I think that there's something useful in it, but it has to... Surveillance has a purpose if it has a purpose. You know what I mean? You can't just sit there and throw up cameras and then go, we got footage of the girl being raped. Now we can catch the guy. That is not a good use of surveillance. You should be using surveillance as an early warning tool only. Like, I don't even think they should have logs. Sure, maybe a log should be there in place, but nothing more than like 12 or 48 hours. Because if nothing's happened in the 48 hours, then you probably don't need to know about it. Now, if it's an area that's like really, really, you know, remote or whatever, and you're worried about like a dock or something like that, where you're worried about, you know, illegal shipments coming in, so on and so forth, boats pulling up, all that good stuff. Yeah, I could see, you know, having longer tapes there. But just running around with cameras everywhere so you've got documentation so that you can punish after the crime, that sounds almost like entrapment to me. You know, just to, you know, we'll just let this guy have
enough. If you're putting up cameras so you can make sure that your employees don't take a 12-minute bathroom break instead of a 10-minute bathroom break, something's really wrong when you're spending tens of thousands on video surveillance and putting it in the schools so people don't spray paint on the walls. It's getting out of hand.
Oh, yeah. No, and I used to think that having the LEDs, the infrared LEDs, you know, I used to think that was like a crazy idea where you take it and you mount it on a hat band or something like that. But I think maybe in Patrolling 3, that's what I'll do, is I'll show people, I'll do another modification to the tinfoil hat, where I'll actually, since it's a tinfoil hat anyway, and that's crazy, right? Who does that? It's so funny.
That's
so
crazy.
So what we'll do is we'll put the red LEDs in the tinfoil hat too, so that, you know, whatever, right?
That way they have to ask you to turn it off.
Well, it's your image and your likeness. You're actually... you could file people with the Digital Millennium Copyright Act if they don't have permission to use your image and likeness, because it is your image and likeness, and that is copyright you. So if they wish to do that, that's, you're just instituting some copyright protection on yourself so that your personal information, which is yours, doesn't get taken away, right? So if they want to...
You're protecting your privacy.
Well, and it's the same thing as like the videotapes, right? If they want to, you know, violate your rights and capture your images, they got to sit through the FBI law, and they have to, you know, come up to you and say, "Excuse me, sir, we'd like to use this," and then you produce the form, which they sign, which states that you have copies of all everything that is your likeness and all other people's likeness, which are captured by you, and so on and so forth. And if they sign that, then you will turn off your copy protection. But you can't be expected to turn off your copy protection if, you know, I mean, realistically, come on. I haven't consented to this. So you can have video surveillance, right? That's fine. You want to put everything on video surveillance. That's great.
But
that's
it's got to work both ways.
But yeah, I mean, I have my right to my own images. So I think that's the way I'd run it. But anyway.
It's fair.
Yeah. It's fair. And that's what we called in the cyberpunk role-playing days, black ice. Anything that's kind of like, you know, countermeasures, electronic countermeasures, all that good stuff. And that leads us to the news. And black ice news sent in by Weird Wolf. Thank you very much. More than 100 drivers in Austin, Texas, found their cars disabled and their horns honking out of control after an intruder ran amok in a web-based vehicle immobilization system normally used to get the attention of customers delinquent in their auto payments. What? Police with Austin's high-tech crime unit on Wednesday arrested 20-year-old Omar Ramos Lopez, a former Texas Auto Center employee, who was laid off last month and allegedly sought revenge by bricking the cars from the dealership's four Austin area lots. So he like turned off everybody's car, everyone's car who bought it from this. I'm like, what? Whoa, first of all, what's the car lot doing being able to brick my car? Never mind anything else in the story. What WTF? We initially dismissed it as a mechanical failure, says Texas Auto Sensor Manager Martin Garcia. We started having a rash of up to 100 customers at one time complaining. Some customers complained that the horn's going off in the middle of the night. Their only option they had was to remove the battery, which is terrifying that you can't stop your car from attacking you. This is something out of a movie. The dealership used a system called WebTech Plus as an alternative to repossessing vehicles that haven't been paid for. Wow, you're so outed now, it's not even funny. Operated by the Cleveland-based Pay Technologies, the system let car dealers install a small black bus under the vehicle's dashboard that responds to commands issued through a central website and relayed over wireless pager network. The dealer can disable an ignition system, trigger the horn as a reminder that payment is due. That's kind of like... That's kind of like, I'm going to capture your children and hold a gun to their head as a reminder that payment is due. The system will not stop a running vehicle. But if you stop somewhere, oh, you're fucked now. You're fucked now because you can't go anywhere because, you know, it won't stop a running vehicle.
Time to take the bus home.
Texas Auto Center began fielding complaints from baffled customers last week in February, many of whom wound up missing work, calling tow trucks, or disconnecting their batteries to stop the honking. The trouble stopped 5 days later when Texas Auto Center reset the WebTech Plus passwords for all its employee accounts, says Garcia. The police obtained access logs from Pay Technologies and traced the saboteur's IP address to Ramon Lopez AT&T Internet Service, according to police affidavits. So he did it from his house. He didn't do it with a stealth box. He's an absolute fucking moron. I don't know how he thought he was going to get away with this. Ramon Lopez's account has been closed when he was terminated from the Texas Auto Center and a workforce reduction last month. So he gets laid off, but he allegedly got through in another employee's account. Ah-ha-ha! At first, the intruder targeted vehicles by searching the name, blah, 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 blah. Now, the problem is, he was pretty good with computers. They said, yeah, okay, the problem here is not that some guy, quote-unquote, what they're going to say is hacked into the system, right? He didn't hack anything. That's a password. There's no hacking involved here.
There's no hack.
He had he shoulder surfed, got a password, did the damage, all right? And now, but the real issue here is a car dealership being able to turn off the cars. That's the issue there. Like, if that didn't make me want to go on Kai Domain or Deal Extreme or one of these, you know, Chi-Com websites and buy myself, like, a cellular or and pager jammer that is run by a cigarette lighter, I mean, that would probably be, you know, justification right there to find out what's going on with that. I would find a detector, see if you can locate this thing and tear that the hell out of there. I mean, Sim, you disabled it, right? In yours. I mean, you bought a car.
Yeah, I've torn mine right out. The whole OnStar thing. They advertise that all the time. It's like, we can stop your car with just a word.
That's right.
It's that easy.
And they have like this.
Like, while it's running, they have even more power with the OnStar. And I mean, this is more and more getting more and more invasive in tech, where the company that you bought the piece of tech from can reach into your system and disable it, turn it off, make it into a brick because they don't like the way you're using it.
Or let's not forget the Kindle. The Kindle. Let's take that George Orwell book right out of there. Let's take that book out. You don't have that knowledge. That's gone. That's gone. Sorry, you don't have the rights for that. Here's the credit.
You paid for it.
That's
we're
going
to take that book right off your shelf. We're going to come into your house and remove it.
We'll give you the credit back, though. We'll give you the credit back, though, and claim it's not theft. You know, which is fine, because under that same rules, I could bring my fucking book back, take my money back, and give you back your book and tell you to suck it. Right, because that's exactly the same thing you did to me. Right, that's precisely the same thing you just did to me. So I should be able to take my pants back, drop them on the shelf, take the money out, and leave, right? Because that's...
Oh, take it right out of their cash register without them looking.
Oh, yeah, while they're sleeping. While they're sleeping, you walk into their store, do it in the middle of the night, and then, and then you leave. And, you know, no one can say anything because that's exactly the same thing. But, of course, we can't go against the gods of our age and the high priests of the times, which would be the CEOs of the corporations and, you know, the thousand-year no-border gods of our times, which are, of course, multinational corporations. You know, they're pharaoh, right? They're the ones calling the shots right now. Let's cut the shit, man. That's what it is. That's what it is. And more to this... More to this. You ready for this one, Simi? In Mind's Eye News. Mind's Eye News. This is a new surveillance nightmare sent in by IceHawk and a few others. The Pentagon's risk-taking research agency is kicking off a new program to turn everyday cameras into autonomous bops with problem-solving smarts. Now, this harkens back to an after-now concept I had. Remember I said they were going to take people and hook them up to be routers so that they could do data parsing?
Yes.
Because that was the whole thing I wanted to do with you. I wanted to have Sumerian as a Sumerian unit, and he's like one of these routers. Yeah. Well, that's essentially what they are. It's like from Pitch Dark, the Lensman, same sort of idea. DARPA is already after all kinds of intelligent robo-critters. Past few months, they've launched projects to create a real-life C-3PO. I love it when they just dumb this down. Who do they think they're writing this for? Like, do they think we're all, like, 12 or what? You know, a surveillance system to pinpoint threats in heaps of visual data. Heaps of visual data. Now the agency wants artificial intelligence-powered cameras that can recognize objects and then tell a story about them. You know, well, this is a box. One day, the box was walking down the street. Next month, DARPA will host a one-day conference to launch the project, which means, well, which has been given a slightly Orwellian title, The Mind's Eye. The idea was to create machines that are endowed with what remains to be an exclusive human ability, visual intelligence. So what they're talking about here is they want to get cameras up that can monitor behavior, and then you've got computers alerting, you know, the SWAT team that subject 47921 is acting erratically. This is after, of course, we just did a story where people are shutting off people's cars. You know.
Yeah.
So imagine I'm pissed off and I, you know, I hack that database. You know, oh shit, we can get your, we can get your wife strip search, no problem. You know, we can do that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we'll just, you know, make her say we saw her with some cocaine or something, or we'll have her be listed as, you know, having dealership type qualities, and we'll just make sure they get the right sensor notes that they need. But the other fun thing here, too, is that you could figure out how to hack the system. So if you exhibited certain behaviors, you could get picked up and dropped off somewhere or something like that, you know, because you'd know that the cameras would report you for this or that. Or, you know, maybe there's a way you could back hack that. I don't know. But that's what they're doing. And it makes sense because we already know that surveillance is out of control, right? We still got the cameras up, Simi, right? From the Olympics, right? Remember those cameras they put up in Vancouver?
Technically, the Olympics are still on. So until the end of this month.
Right. Do you think they're going to take them down? Do you think they're going to take them down?
What? Well, we invested all this money into them, and it takes more money to take them down.
It's a crime-fighting tool. You know? Got to have those tools to fight crime. You know? Super cameras.
Yep. Some of them are on lease, so some of them are going to go back. But all the bought ones are supposed to come down, too. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, people are still talking about the hoodies. There was that guy thrown out of the... Did you hear about that story? I didn't put it in the newsroom, but there's a guy who got arrested in Australia and thrown out of a place because he wouldn't take off his hoodie. This is a great story. He walks into a place, right, a government building, won't remove the hoodie, and they said, why? He said, I'm a Jedi. And as a Jedi, I don't take off my, my hoodie, and they threw him out.
That's right.
But it's an official religion in Australia. Right? They've been recognized, so they got an apology out of him and everything. They had to apologize to him for throwing him out for saying he was a Jedi, which I thought was fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, what could be better than that?
I don't know about that.
No, that's true. Church.
On the basis of religion, I know it's a true story, but on the basis of religion, I'm not sure that that's the best excuse, because then you can What defines a religion? One person believing in one thing is a crazy person. Two believing in the same thing is a religion. So you can make up any religion you want and make it up saying that, oh, I do this or this, and then everybody has to bow down to your whims.
Well, ding, Scientology, thanks for calling. That's exactly what
exactly.
They did. You don't need, okay, things are a religion depending on what country they're in. In Australia, they voted on it, they had a referendum, and in their law structure, Jedis are now a religion. I mean, they're not accepted as a religion anywhere else, right?
No.
And just like, Scientology is recognized accurately as a psychotic money-grubbing cult in Germany, right? So, but
that's
in other
correct.
Countries, they enjoy, the status that...
Tax breaks and stuff, like in the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it all depends on and where you are locally. And, in Australia, let justice be done. The Jedis can walk freely around. Mind you, he should have just been able to wiggle his hand and be like, no. And, push him back to the door, and the guy'd, grunt like a big pig. And then he said, you will take me to see your master. He will be happy and reward you.
But I do believe it. I do believe in the right to privacy and the right to hide your identity if you don't want anybody to see it. Like that doesn't need to have a religion to make that kind of true.
Well, I believe we've only got the rights we're willing to fight for. And if you don't have a method to enforce your rights, then you don't have those rights, and that's just a fact. People can talk about their right to, I have the right to play. Well, unless you can enforce that shit, you don't have the right to do jack and shit when Jack left town. That's why there's things like the army and the military and stuff. They're supposed to be around, and you have the crazy guys with the guns, drinking blood and stuff, because they're the ones supposed to protect the bad guys who are trying to come and take your rights. That was the original plan. It's been slightly corrupted since then, but the original plan was crazy guys with the guns protecting nice people. That was the original, 50,000-foot plan, essentially. And then it kind of got boiled down from there, and they came up with a bunch of ideas, and it all got kind of pushed around. But that was the original concept, So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is here, Sam. I mean, I think that, is more religion the answer? Probably not. Probably not. There's been a lot of problems with religion. It's done a lot of really hairy shit. It's caused a lot of problems. So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that, would you object to the Jedi religion? Do you object to that? You think we shouldn't have that? No idea?
I don't think that there should be any, government recognition of it. I think if anybody wants to believe in crazy things, they can keep it to themselves. It doesn't need to be recognized by the government or respected by the government. They want to believe crazy things, go in their house and believe crazy things. Don't force it on everybody else to have to respect what you do and believe in.
Well, I can support that. I can support that. But then that means then that, people have to take off their headdresses and stuff like that when they walk into, buildings and all that kind of stuff, and there's various, you have to be given the freedom to say no, which I suppose is important. People have to have the freedoms to choose, right? So I think that's a...
Why would they have to take off their headdresses in buildings?
Well, let's say it's for ID purposes. they want to scan you.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Well, if there's a place where you need to be ID'd, then because, showing your driver's license and all you see is your eyes and all you see is your eyes in person, that's not really going to be a good match, is it?
No, that's true. And plus, we could always, just pushing back to that red LED thing, you could just, work that into your hair or something, and infrared.
Exactly. I like the right to my anonymity, so I'm not terribly against people covering up their whole face. What is it going to solve if whether people can see you or not see you? Your face or not see your face? Is it going to make you more or less crazy or anything?
Well, I could see why you wouldn't object to that. Why you wouldn't think that? Because let's not forget that I am dealing with a member of a dangerous, powerful terrorist organization of vegans. You guys walk around with balaclavas on all the time, so it's totally understood that could be the case. Because realistically, it's like that song, I look psychotic drinking in my belly, blah, blah. Anyway, in bioweapon news, always liking this, medical experts will be watching closely Monday when a scientist who says she's been intentionally paralyzed by a virus designed at the Pfizer laboratory where she'd worked in Groton opens a much-anticipated trial that could raise questions about the safety practices in the dynamic field of genetic engineering.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty big level claim. Organizations involved in workplace safety and responsible genetic research have already seized on the federal lawsuit by molecular biologist Becky McCain as an example of what they claim is evidence of the risks caused by cutting-edge genetic manipulation have outstripped the more slowly evolving government regulation of laboratories. So she's saying that we were doing work on some funky new shit, it got out of the jar, it's in me, I'm all fucked up now. McKinn of Deep River suspects she was inadvertently exposed through work by a former Pfizer colleague in 2002 or 2003 to an engineered form of the lentivirus, a virus similar to that, like one that can lead to acquired immune deficiency syndrome or AIDS. So you made a virus that can create AIDS. You engineered a virus that makes AIDS. I don't even want to know why you made a virus that makes AIDS that you can give to people. And she was quote unquote exposed to it. Now, AIDS, you got to kind of have sex with somebody, right? Does that mean that this guy opened a vial and now the chick could have AIDS? Like, what the hell? Medical experts working for McLean believe the virus has affected the way her body channels potassium, leading to a condition that causes complete paralysis as many as 12 times a month. If a work in their plant, as sophisticated as Pfizer, becomes infected with a genetically engineered virus, then I think the potential is everywhere. Well, hell yeah, said Jeremy Gruber, president for the Council Responsible for Genetics, a public interest group created to explore the implications of genetic technologies. Genetically engineered viruses are commonly worked with on your average university. The public has a right to know what regulations are in place and what regulations are required to fix an industry-wide issue. We need to have a conversation about this, said Ms. McCain's attempt to do what has been hampered at every turn by the courts and by regulators. Pfizer disputes all of McCain's claims, saying that it fired her in 2005 because she refused to come to work. The global pharmaceuticals manufacturer with research labs in southeastern Connecticut defends the safety practices and denies that McLean's physical disability is related from exposure at the Groton lab. The company said she did not link her disability to a workplace exposure until after she was fired. As a molecular biologist, McLean studied cells on a molecular level, manipulating genetic codes in an effort to develop vaccines. During the period at issue in the suit, McLean worked in Pfizer's Human Health Embryonic Stem Cells Technology, GDEM, and Protomic Sciences and Exploratory Medical Sciences Group. That's the name of the group she worked with. Holy shit, that's a big title.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So they're fighting back and forth now, talking about this genetically engineered stuff, which, you know, I think that there's a lot to be said for being careful with the genetics. Who was it that said that, you know, it's not the nuclear bombs I'm worried about, it's the scientists, you know, with their genetics and stuff, creating like these weird plagues and shit like that. I mean, there's some weird stuff going on there.
I mean, at the crux of this is they want some oversight into what they're doing here and some public scrutiny of how they're dealing with these crazy viruses in these laboratories so that the public can be reassured that everybody's going to be safe rather than shutting the doors and going, no, we're good here. Nobody needs to look inside. We're fine.
Yeah, everything's fine here. How are you? Yeah, which is not the way it's going to go. However, you know, never mind the genetically engineered viruses, let's talk about cybernetics. In cybernetics news, scientists have already created mini cyborgs out of living cells and semiconductor materials. We've talked about it on the show. But now, biological cells can also contain tiny silicone chips, which could become sensors that monitor microscopic activities, deliver drugs, or target or even repel cell structures. These are the beginnings of nanites. According to NanoWork, experiments found that living human cells can ingest or receive injections of silicone chips containing functioning as usual for most part. More than 90% of the chip-containing HeLa cells, the first immortal human cell line, the HeLa cells, derived from a poor cancer-stricken woman. She still survived a week after receiving their silicone loads. So they're shooting up the dying cancer people with you know, what the hell. Hey, if you're dying, sounds cool. And nanites, you know, we got the whole juicer thing on the go there. That's what they did. They had the little micro-nano machines running around fixing people's bodies, right? You gotta like that. Like, what's not to like, really? You know, I mean,
if it works, I see no problem here.
It does not bother me in the slightest. I think it's
go little robots go.
But yeah, I think that's great. So, you know, whatever. In pre-crime news, now this is a scary story sent in by Vortex 7. Thank you very much. Now this is another story. I posted a story some time ago about a guy who he did nothing wrong. The cops just showed up and arrested him, right?
Right.
And his crime was that he owned some guns. That was his crime. Okay.
Yeah.
In pre-crime news, to hear them tell it, the five police agencies who apprehended 39-year-old Oregonian David Piles early morning on March 8th thwarted another lone wolf mass murderer. The police were able to successfully take a potentially volatile male subject into protective custody for mental evaluation, end quote. So if they come and get me, Sim, they didn't drag me out of the house. No, they were successfully able to take a potentially volatile male subject. He wasn't volatile.
I knew it.
He was potentially volatile.
Into protective custody
for mental evaluation. We're not even sure if he's crazy. According to a press release put out by the Medford, Oregon Police Department, the subject had recently been placed on administrative leave from his job and was, quote, very disgruntled, end quote. Like, what dignifies that?
You know, I was so happy about being fired from my job.
Like, how disgruntled am I? You know, am I?
Yeah.
Would you say that I would qualify as disgruntled? Disgruntled
from
person?
1 to 10? Maybe a 9 while you're doing the show.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. I think I'm a cynic. Does that count? Yeah, I think cynicism is probably being disgruntled.
Yeah, puts it up 1 or 2 notches. Yeah.
You know, maybe I could buy a bottle of Gruntled so that, you know, when they say I'm disgruntled, I could be like, no, Gruntled. Anyway, local law enforcement agencies were extremely concerned that the subject was planning retaliation against his employers. But why? You just thought it up? He's going to go home and kill everybody. The release said, fortunately, Piles voluntarily turned himself over to police custody, and the legally purchased firearms were seized for safekeeping. So, he's done nothing wrong. He's sitting in his house. This voluntary exchange involved two SWAT teams, police officers from Medbur and nearby Roseburg, sheriff deputies from Jackson and Douglas counties, the Oregon State Police. Oregon Police Chief Sergeant Jeff Prolux explained to the South's Mail Tribune why operation was such a success. Instead of being reactive, we took a proactive approach. That's right, the Office of Pre-Crime. There's just one problem. David Piles hadn't committed any crime, nor was he suspected of having committed one. The police never obtained a warrant for either search or arrest. They never consulted with a judge or a mental health professional before sending out the military-style team to take Pyle in. They woke me up with a phone call at 5:50 in the morning, Piles told me in a phone interview. He looked out the window and saw a SWAT team pointing their guns at his house. The officer on the phone told me to turn myself in. I told him I would. On three conditions, I would not be handcuffed, I would not be taken off my property, I would not be forced to go to a mental health evaluation. He agreed. Second, I stepped outside, they jumped me, they handcuffed me, took me off my property to get a mental health evaluation. There's some wisdom here. But let's be fucking real. If you wake up at 5:50 in the morning with a window coming through the wall or whatever, your phone rings, this is the police, come outside with your hands. What the fuck are you going to do? You're going to walk outside with your hands in the air is what you're going to do. He gave himself up. No, I just came outside so you motherfuckers didn't shoot me. You got a tank out here, man. I am out fucking gunned. I bought a 38. Give me a break. You know, and this is insane, and there's more and more of this where, again, it's people who have done nothing wrong. This is total Gestapo bullshit. Like, that, the guy did nothing wrong. Well, we could have prevented a tragedy. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Could've.
Yeah,
maybe.
We prevented a fucking tragedy. Are you for real here? The guy, again, didn't do anything. He was minding his own fucking business until he got a phone call at 5:50 with two SWAT teams on his lawn. Like, what the fuck?
Maybe it's going to be standard procedure now for anybody who's fired who owns firearms that, you know, some SWAT teams come in just in case and give you a mental evaluation by gunpoint.
Thank God I don't own any guns. That's all I got to say. Thank God I don't own any guns because holy cow, you know, now, luckily I'm in Canada. Right. Oh, this was in the United States, by the way. Yeah, this was U.S. People are it's in Oregon. Yeah, it happened in Oregon, which is actually pretty gun-friendly. Like, there's a lot of gun people in Oregon. Yeah. So
I think I'd need a mental evaluation after, you know, a whole SWAT team descends on my house. I think I might go a little bit paranoid, in fact.
Well, I probably would be, too. They'd be like, so, how are you? And you ever seen one of those mental evaluations? So, Sim, How are you feeling? Well, I'm feeling pretty fucking stressed out right now because you dragged me out of bed with two fucking SWAT teams. You seem angry. Oh, wow. Why don't you get, what the fuck should I be right now? You know, like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that's so tragic because, you know, I would hope that the Americans, like the Canadians, our rights are fucking gone. We're living in a socialist nation anyway. Who gives a shit, right? But, like, I was hoping that maybe the Yanks would be able to hold on a little bit, you know? They'd be able to, I don't know, keep their guns and you know, kind of keep being crazy Americans, being free and stuff. But, oh well, fuck it.
It doesn't give an indication of how they were alerted or who tipped them off. Is it the former employee did or a former employer did or what?
I don't know. They just, I guess, well, maybe somebody had a fucking dream. They had no warrant. They didn't clear it with anybody. They just showed up. Fuck, the dog told
them.
Who knows? He's
bored?
Got a psychic. Who knows? It may as well be.
That's right.
You know, we're worried. We're worried about this guy. We don't like this guy. You know, this is nuts. This is nuts. Now, what's really nuts is that the good people at WikiLeaks are big fans of the show. And one of the, which is pretty amazing, considering WikiLeaks does a lot of amazing stuff. So if, and one of the editor of WikiLeaks sent me this story, which I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool that WikiLeaks is sending me stuff. That's pretty neat. Anyway, in U.S. intelligence news, this is InfoWar news, there's a document there which shows that the counterintelligence investigations into WikiLeaks. And there's a possibility that current employees or moles within DOD or elsewhere in the U.S. government are providing sensitive, classified information to WikiLeaks cannot be ruled out. This document, okay, which he's reporting on here, has concocted a plan to fatally marginalize the organization of WikiLeaks. This is a secret document that was drawn up by, like, some governmental institutions to destroy WikiLeaks. Okay.
The irony is dripping.
which, of course, the document is then ripped on and given away on WikiLeaks, right? But this is my point. It's a couple of years old, but don't think that we're making this up. This isn't some Alex Jones, you know, kind of like remote for, you know, I mean, Alex, to be fair, he has all the newspaper clippings and everything to back it up. But, like, this is their own documentation. Like, we're not even linking stuff here. We're just like, they're trying to destroy WikiLeaks. Wow. You know, and
they've got too much info, too much power.
Well, they're saying that they can cause problems. They've already caused problems, and as an odd justification for the plan, the report claims that several foreign countries, including China, Israel, North Korea, Russia, Vietnam, and Zimbabwe, have denounced or blocked access to the WikiLeaks website. Well, if Zimbabwe doesn't like it, then, you know, of course, Zimbabwe's all cool with, like, genital mutilation and shit. But, you know, and generally North Korea, right? North Korea. Is that Kim Jong-il, North Korea? Or is that South Korea?
Yeah.
So they're saying that if Kim Jong-il doesn't like it, well, shit. You know, you want to. Yeah, you know, because Kim says no. You know, and the way I see it is,
he knows what he's talking about.
Sure. You know, and if Zimbabwe and Kim Jong-il are not into it, then clearly, you know, the U.S. government needs to take radical and drastic measures against WikiLeaks because they're the bad guys. Anyway, it's insane. It's totally fucking insane. But big shouts out to the boys over at WikiLeaks. Please keep fighting the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
And as promised, Simi, some more border war news. I'm sorry about this one.
Oh, good.
It's RE46 told us about suspected drug cartel hit teams. That's great. That's really good. This is about as Shadowrun as it gets. So you've got hit teams have murdered an American consular employee and her husband in the Mexican border city of Ciudad Juarez? Jeez, I'm murdering the name of that town. As well as a Mexican husband of a co-worker in separate attacks, U.S. officials say. The victims came under fire on separate occasions as they were driving on a weekend after attending some social event. Then all of a sudden, bang, suspected drug cartel hit teams fired on the locally employed staff, Consulate General Juarez, in a privately owned vehicle, as the official said. The attacks resulted in three fatalities, two American citizens and one Mexican citizen. The U.S. woman who worked for the consulate's American Citizen Services section was with her American husband and her infant daughter when they came under fire, the official said. The infant daughter survived the attack unharmed, but the woman and husband were killed. The daughter has been placed inside a secret CIA assassination team program while she'll be trained for the rest of her life to get the vengeance for her parents' murder. That's about as a Batman a childhood as you could hope for.
No,
this is fucking tragic. This is absolutely tragic that they've got these drug cartels and they're heavily funded, right? They've got state-of-the-art bang bang, and you know they never dealt with this problem the way they should have.
Running wild.
Yeah, you know, and now of course, you know, we can't really sit there and scream at them, saying, "Well, we didn't sort it out." Because I mean, well, how do you sort this out? Well, there's really only one way to sort this out, which means you got to take out the gangs, right? I mean, that's it. So if you're gonna take out the gangs, well, you're going to break a few eggs making that omelet, okay? Let's be real here.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have guys with, like, big rifles and shooting people.
It's going to be messy. Yeah.
It's going to be ugly, so, you know.
Bodies in the street.
I'm okay with it. I think it's a good idea. I think it can be done correctly if you get professionals.
I mean, there's already bodies in the street, so, you know, it's happening anyway.
Well, you're going to control this action or you're not. You know, and they're either going to get stronger or they're going to get taken down a notch. So it's up to you, however you want to play this. I don't really care. But bottom line, we got problems going on inside. But like, fuck no, let's not put drones on that. Let's not get some serious military hardware on that. Hell no. We want to use those drones to stop the illegal immigrants and Mary Sanchez and her infant baby from getting across the goddamn border looking for a better life.
That's what's
important here. That's what the forefathers intended when they put the Statue of Liberty up. Yeah, for sure. That's what that whole thing about give us your unwashed and your unwanted, that whole spiel, that's what it says, right, on the Statue of Liberty?
I seem to think. You have to read the bottom in the tiny print, except the Mexican.
It's in the fine print, right, yeah. Anyway.
Yes, yeah. Barefoot, yeah.
And of course, now you're ready. This one's, you think we had it rough, Sim? Wait until this motherfucker, the Olympic Religion News. Thank you very much, Standalone Matt. The organizers of the 2012 Olympics will be hoping to emulate the street party atmosphere of Vancouver now that the curtain has come down on the Winter Games and all eyes turn to London. Never mind the fact that the Paralympic Games are still going on because nobody cares about the couples.
True.
London That's organizers right. have always promised a compact and atmospheric Summer Games, largely as an anecdote to glitz to Beijing's what you estimate to have spent £40 billion on staging the 2008 Olympics. London has also pledged it would provide efficiency with the added comment of delivering a legacy which would avoid the white elephants of some previous games such as in Athens, whatever the hell that means. Now, never mind, we're going to blah, 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 blah. The Olympics are coming. Now, let's talk about the police powers in England during the Olympics. Okay? This is what they can do. The police will have powers to enter private homes and seize posters and will be able to stop people carrying non-sponsor items to sporting events.
Well, that one was here in the Olympics. You weren't able to wear anything that wasn't official sponsored.
Well, wait. Read it again. Will be able to stop people carrying non-sponsor items to sporting events. Not at the sporting, to the event. Hey, I'm sorry, you're wearing Levi's jeans. This Olympics is sponsored by Buffalo. You're going to have to go home and get changed. I'm not going to the Olympics.
True.
Yeah, that's exactly what this is. Never mind the fact you could come into my fucking house and take my posters down. Like, my parents didn't try that shit. Like, are you kidding me? I think there will be lots of people doing things completely innocently who are going to be caught by this, and some people who will be prosecuted, while others will be so angry about it they will start complaining about civil liberties issues. Well, fuck no, if they don't start complaining about civil liberties over that. I think that will potentially just prompt a debate about the commercial nature of the games. Do big sponsors have too much influence over the games? Do they?
Really?
I don't know.
When the sponsors can order home infiltrations, I think they might have stepped over the line of too much power.
Yeah, maybe. At a guess.
If you step back from it and look at it at a certain angle, maybe.
Yeah. Now, I got shit a while back in an email. I got crap in an email from my Cyberpunk kit section. Yeah, I did. I got in trouble. Because my Cyberpunk kit section, I've been reporting on, if there's, like, a holodeck type thing that comes out. I put that in the Cyberpunk kit section because it's Cyberpunky, it's kit, it's gear, right?
Yeah.
But some people were upset with that. They said, no, we want kit you can buy. You can only review kit we can buy. And I got this big email about it, which I kind of
thought was kind of disappointing when you go to the website and it's like, it's vaporware.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that, you know, their comments and everything that they sent in, but I'm going to keep doing, you know, what I can. And if you don't like it, you know, you may wish to, you know, possibly go to another show. But seriously, it's, wherever I can find, but I did read that email. I'm just not paying attention to it. In Cyberpunk news, Cyberpunk kit, damn it, is the Rosetta Stone. And I thought this was a gag at first. I'm like, is this a real thing? And this was sent in by BT. Thank you very much. Rosetta Stone. What is a Rosetta Stone, you might ask? It's a natural stone tablet with advanced object hyperlinking technology that fits in the palm of your hand. It's an artifact that serves as your personal long-term historical archive. It's a tombstone with an RFID chip in it that broadcasts your stats to phones. If your phone is NC-RFID enabled, touching your phone to the stone will return the tablet's associated information. At the time of this writing, there is no other memorial tablet that offers this capability. You choose symbols for what you were. There's like a barber pole. I was a barber. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's really bizarre.
This is what I was.
It's really, really bizarre. It's like a cybernetic tombstone that enables you to open your own fucking Facebook page after you're dead. I don't know. It's really weird. It's too weird for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too weird for me not to put in the show. Okay, it was just...
I could figure out a cheaper option. Just put in a website at the bottom of your gravestone and go set up a website. You don't have to put in all this technology into the gravestone.
Well, I would do that, but if I'm going to put tech in my gravestone, I may as well have like a holographic projector. Right, that like, you know, freaks kids out in the middle of the night, you know, midnight.
Obi-Wan, you're my only hope.
Yeah, you know, or like a wailing woman on your graveside or something like that, and it fades out, you know, only for half an hour.
Forever crying.
Yeah. you know, that kind of really, really creepy shit, you know, that'd be all right. Or maybe like a hologram of the Scatman standing over my grave with like Baba Yaga, or maybe a hologram of Baba Yaga, like perched on my gravestone, like kind of like trying to crow, but he can't because his neck's broken or something. I don't know. It'd be neat. And today's Daily Hack, this is an interesting one, too. Now, I believe this one's free. Sam, you're going to have to back me up on this. This is a product called Junaio. J-U-N-A-I-O. J-U-N-A-I-O. It's an augmented reality platform that was sent in by Ad Nauseam. And this is exactly the kind of thing I was talking about doing. Of course, somebody's already gone and done it. It's an augmented reality platform has been launched to deliver eventful channels to mobile devices, allowing the user to receive events that will happen near you with the details, including the event location and venue. So essentially,
it is free. Yeah,
it's like a poster thing that you can walk around to a venue, hold up your iPhone, and it'll show you what events will happen there. You know what I mean?
It's like straight to you.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting in that it is
actually... McDonald's is having a sale on burgers. Just turn left.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But it is an augmented reality platform. Okay?
Yes, it is.
So, you know, that's something that we can play around with. And it's today's Daily Hack. Sim, have you got anything in the in your Sims corner here? I'm looking around here. I don't see anything. I don't think you do.
No. No? Not this week. No, no, no.
No, Sim?
No. No. But we are recording some commentary for the upcoming After Now animation, which is pretty exciting. So,
oh, it's very exciting. Yeah. This will be my first time seeing it this weekend. So
yes, and that's also exciting. Nothing like, you know, seeing it for the first time.
Yes, and the guy who's he's out here this weekend, and he's getting some kind of award. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah,
award
for his first film. I guess it's an animation award from Vancouver, one of the Vancouver film festivals, for his full-length Archon Defender animation. David Kay, who's doing our After Now animation. So,
and it's brilliant stuff. The guy's awesome. I really want to do some more work with him. Of course, you know what's going to happen. Everybody is going to be everyone's going to see it, and they'll be like, "We want a movie." That's what they're going to do. You know, and he'll be like,
if that's the worst that could happen, then that's good.
I've seen a few frames. Like, people are going to lose their shit when they see this. And let's not forget that TacCraft
has done, you know, did the music for it. I mean, this has been like,
that's right,
you know, something that I spit into the internet, and like Server has now taken it and turned it into this amazing thing. I'm like, really, I feel very blessed by the whole thing, to be honest with you. It's quite an amazing thing. I'm really looking forward to it. So
Original soundtrack by Tackcraft.
That's right.
Not just recycled music. It's original.
So when, like, if there's going to be, this is going to be something to pick up for sure. This is as good as it's going to get. It's probably one of the coolest things we've ever been part of. Like this.
I think so. Yeah. Oh yeah. But it was a real community effort with, you know, No Delete doing the animation and Tackcraft doing the sound. It's great.
Oh, let's not forget your effort. I mean, you mixed this thing, and I can't imagine how much work you've done into it. And I've seen you, you know, deriding the poor guy. I mean, I've seen the critiques go back and forth. I mean, and Sim is a perfectionist. I mean, I was half, you know, I'd go email the guy and be like, dude, like, you know, Sim loves you. That's why he's doing this. But, you know, he's like, but he's, you know,
I beat you because I love you.
I beat you because I know you can be better. Anyway, so. But that's all we got for you today. Don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute this show. Get it out there so we get a bigger margin of people who need to hear this stuff. If you can donate, even if you can only donate a little bit, even if you can subscribe, that'd be really, really great. I hate doing it because, I mean, there's that fat chick on the PBS who's always yelling at me to do the same thing. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm doing the same thing here. But if you can,
it helps us do more. It helps us be able to do more stuff.
The mammoths will be born in the spring. So by clicking on the donate tab on the Dark Outlet on anywhere on the Rant Media website, you'll be able to figure out, you know, where to go from there. And if you can, it would be greatly appreciated. Or you can send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 370 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you'd like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com, and Simi will sort that shit out. And if you like music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And be sure to check out Sim's show, the Pirate Party Radio Show. Is that what it's called? The Pirate Party Radio? It's the Pirate Party Radio Show?
Pirate Party Radio.
Pirate Party Radio.
There's no show, but you can call it show.
And if they want to check that out, how do they do that, Sim?
PiratePartyRadio.com.
Well, that's... Wow, you got the domain. I got the domain. Ooh, awesome.
Up to 20 episodes, so you can listen to 20 hours of me speaking right into your ears.
And his show is a lot more, you know, factual. The signal to noise ratio is much greater on his show than this one, which you never really know what you're going to get. I'm going to fade out now with a track that was sent in by a good buddy of mine, Captain Morgan, who's in Afghanistan right now. He discovered this song. I've heard it before, but he said, "Yeah, man, this made me think of your show." And you know, when a guy in the trenches of Afghanistan sends me this, I thought it was cool. This is Jarvis Cocker, "Running the World," which, if you listen to the lyrics, it's so entirely true. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. Simi, have you got anything else?
Nope.
Alrighty, then until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
What did you hear? Listen at your order. Those most deserving will end up with the most. That the cream can't help but always rise up to the top. Well, I say, shit floats. If you thought things had changed, friend, you better think again. Bluntly put, in the fewest of words, counts are still running the world. Counts are still running the world. Now the working classes are obsolete. They are surplus to society's needs. So let them all kill each other and get it made overseas. That's the word, don't you know, from the guys that's running. touch me perfectly, clear boys and girls. Cunts are still running the world. Cunts are still running the world. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We'll feed your children on crayfish and lobster tails. Find a school near the top of the league. In theory, I respect your right to exist. I will kill you if you're moving next to me. Ah, it stinks. It sucks. It's anthropologically unjust. Oh, but the chickens are a riot first. Perfectly natural. Do you think that I'm some kind of man? It's the ideal way to order the world. Fuck the morals, does it make any money? And if you don't like it, then leave. Or use your right to protest on the streets. Yeah, use your right, but don't imagine that it's hurt. No, no.